Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How you doing, guys? I'm Sam Michael. Welcome to episode 8 of Comedians Talking About Football with my guest, the brilliant Nathan Caton. This episode is also available in video form, so you can watch it on my YouTube channel, Kittaholic Sam Michael. So just search Comedians Talking About Football or Kittaholic on there and we should pop up. Or failing that, there is a clickable link in the description of this podcast. As this episode goes out, we're just days away from the 2020-2021 Premier League and EFL season. Still no crowds going in. In fact, in England, the rules have all changed in regards to lockdown. We can no longer have public gatherings of more than six people. Pretty much in the same way Reading couldn't get six players in the box defending Brentford corners towards the end of last season. Something that momentarily gave today's guest hope of automatic promotion. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to the same old this Saturday. I'm really not. Anyway, enough of that. If you've not listened to the podcast before, please do have a listen to the series so far. We've had comedian football fans from Leicester, the City of Manchester, North London and Devon. Yeah, that last one being a Man United fan, obviously. Please do subscribe. And if you enjoy the show, a review is always massively appreciated. As for me, I've been gigging back this week. One outdoor gig to 130 people and one indoor gig, which normally packs in about 80 or 90, but could only fit in around 25 under the new rules. Very, very strange. Speaking of gigs, my guest for episode 8 of Comedians Talking About Football is Nathan Caton, who's talking all things Brentford Football Club. Let's take a listen to him in action.
Okay, so America, welcome, American, hello, have a good evening. Don't shoot! Couldn't help it. I'm a black man, couldn't help it. It's a microphone, not a weapon, relax. You guys are like mate, serious question though, man, like, how many incidents have to happen before, like, you guys go, you know what, maybe it is the guns, you know? Like, if I get into a car accident Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, on Thursday I'll be like, I'll get the bus, you know what I mean? Seriously, are you guys fucking stupid? Crazy white guys.
Well, first of all, Nathan, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It's cool to talk to someone else besides my girlfriend.
Now, normally, we do this sort of football club heaven, football club hell, where we talk about the very best and the very worst of supporting a team. But I guess for you, with Brentford, that's all come in one season, the season just gone. You've probably had the very best and the very worst.
Oh, thanks for reminding me, man. I'm done with 2020, mate. You can piss off. Yeah, man. I mean, talking about playing with my emotions. It was like, you know, Brentford, they're like a football prick tease, if I can say that on this podcast.
Yeah, of course. You can say what you want, mate. You're good.
Yeah, they're like a football prick tease, man. Just play with our emotions, tease us with what could be, and then just take it away at the last moment. It's like, oh, mate, I'd rather just lose every game 5-0, and at least I know what I'm getting. You know what I mean? It's been great, but yeah.
Well, do you know, I'm not just saying this because you're a guest. I've got video proof of this on my YouTube channel. I did a predictions video for who I thought was going to go up this year, and I had Brentford finishing second in my prediction.
Oh, okay.
Because I genuinely thought, I went to Griffin Park last season, because I thought I've got to go there before it goes, because it's such an iconic ground. And I really thought this was written for them, for Brentford. Last season at Griffin Park, new season next year, first time in the Premier League. It would have been fantastic. But, I mean, one of the last games was against us, Reading, and you beat us 3-0, and genuinely one of the best teams I've seen play all year. And I really thought it was going to happen second place, to be honest. But
I mean, where did it all come from this year? Do you think it was holding on to those key players like Ollie Watkins, players like that? And do you think next season, are you going to lose a few of them?
Okay, so to answer your first question, where did that come from? I think just clicked. I mean, we've got a good squad. We've got a good team. And they're a young team, though. That's what people forget. So there's going to be times when, you know, they kind of dip or something, you know, they're going to be up, there's ups and downs. But when we're up, we are up.
Yeah.
And we just hit a wave straight from lockdown, from restart, sorry. And we just continued it up until the Stoke game. No, Stoke, after the Stoke game. We've got a good team. Speaking on like the fact that we haven't lost anyone yet. But like, okay, so not the season has gone, but the season before that, our Achilles heel was our defence. Like, we were good going forward, but would always give you a chance at the back. He brought in Jansen from Leeds, and he shored us up. He's made a massive difference. Alongside Ethan Pinnock, who we brought in from Barnsley, and he's class. The two of them put together, like, made us solid at the back. So we could carry on with our attacking play, knowing that we've kind of shored up at the back. Midfield, we've got a young player like Josh De Silva, who's come in. He's his first full season, and he's come on leaps and bounds. He's only at 21. We've got Christian Norgaard, who came in. He was a holding midfielder, who holds everything together. Then up front, everyone knows about the BMW. If you watch Brentford, you've heard us talking about the BMW up front. Watkins, Benrahma, and Bruma. And those three put together, they're just fire. So when you put all those elements together, it's got a formation of a great team. Given that we didn't get promotion, will a few of them go? I'm going to be sensible and, yeah, probably. I mean, we know our position in the football hierarchy. You know, we are used as a stepping stone to bigger clubs, you know. That's what we do. We find younger players from non-league or lower leagues, develop them, and then if we can't get promotion ourselves, they didn't go on. You know, like James Tarkowski, who's now at Burnley, right? He's doing well. We sold off Andre Gray, Neil Marthai, who's at Brighton now. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the likes of Watkins, Benrahma probably will go, but our recruiting system is like, well, has been so good that we lose players and like, we might panic, but then we find another gem. I'm like, oh, okay, we go again.
So well, that's what I always thought about Brentford. I mean, it seemed to me that whenever they really get going, they have these players who come through and then they end up moving on come the end of the season when you might make a kind of a top table finish. But for me, it was this season, it was almost like everyone at Brentford just went, no. You know, because there was no way did I think Ollie Watkins was going to stay with you at the end of the 18-19 season. I thought, oh, he might make a jump to the Premier League or maybe like Leeds, something like that. But no, it seemed they kept hold of those key players. And that, for me, made me think they're going to go up. Because that was the only thing stopping them, I think, for the last few years and really progressing was just selling the players. And I thought maybe with the new move to the new stadium, that ethos might have changed. So in that sense, what do you think comes next for next season? You know, new start, new ground.
New ground, definitely. I think there'll be some new faces. We've signed a new player already today. Northampton captain, Charlie Good, centre-back. I think if the right offer comes in for like Watkins or Benrahma, then I think they probably will go. I mean, Benrahma's already been linked with like some Premier League clubs, like Chelsea, Villa, because we had Dean Smith, who's now gone to Villa. So he knows Benrahma. But I think some players will move on, which is fine. I don't begrudge them for, you know, wanting a Premier League move. We find someone else. The show must go on. You know, we find some other players and we try and push again. That's all we can do. I mean, there's no point, you know, thinking about what could have been. It's not, you know. Yeah. Let's crack on. We've got a new stadium now, a new reason to feel optimistic, you know. A great stadium as well. It looks beautiful. He's used that now. That would be our new fortress, and use that, you know, as a launch pad to kind of kick on for the Premier League, hopefully.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. There's a lot of good things ahead for Brentford, hopefully. Looking back, though, where did it all start for you as a Brentford fan? What's your earliest memories of going along to games?
My earliest. Actually, you know what? My earliest memory at going to Griffin Park wasn't even for a Brentford game.
Really?
It was it was a charity match between Jamaica and some random select 11.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, it's random. My mum took me when I was like, I would have been 12 or something like that, 13. 12, 13. Me and my little brother, we went, and that was my first game at Griffin Park. Right. My first Brentford game was a few years after that.
Okay.
Because when I was a kid, no one in my family supports Brentford. Mm. Right. For me, it was like either Man United or Arsenal.
Okay.
Okay. Because they were the Premier League clubs. They were on TV, so that's what my family did. It was either United or Arsenal. My godfather and my godmother are both United fans, so they got to me first. So I just copied what they did, right? Not realizing that there was a team just down the road.
Yeah.
And then I remember one day, I was in high school, and some of the Brentford community coaches came to our school, and I could do like a little kick around or whatever like that.
Right.
And the match that we played, they gave me man of the match and gave me a medal for it. I was like, oh, Brentford, that's just down the road, isn't it? Like, why am I supporting Man United for? It's a club just down the road.
Yes.
And so since then, I'd start kind of keeping an eye out for them more and more and more. And then eventually when I got to a point where I could just like afford to go to football matches, because I didn't have no one to go with, just me and my little brother, we kind of kept an eye out for Brentford results and whatever. And then eventually we were like, yo, let's just go and watch Brentford, because like, I don't want to be an armchair fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Man United, I don't want to watch Arsenal. I want to watch a game in the stadium. So me and my brother went along and watched who was it? It was Brentford against, I want to say Rotherham.
Right.
It was an awful, boring, disgustingly, it was 0-0, which is long ball, 90 minutes of long ball. The midfield could have just been like having naps or whatever. Just hoof, 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 hoof. But even though it wasn't great, I enjoyed that. The fact that I was there in the stadium watching live football, supporting my local team. That's the first proper Brentford game I watched. I watched other Brentford games on TV, like when we beat Sunderland and the FA Cup and stuff like that. But I think it was Rotherham. But I remember it was an awful 0-0 game.
Funny you should say that. We were talking just before we started about Jonathan Nelson, comedy promoter and MC. He's a Rotherham fan. Of all the places as well. From Reading who supports Rotherham. Love it.
I think it was Rotherham. If it wasn't, I apologise, Jonathan Nelson. But knowing Rotherham, it probably was.
I think that's the right attitude, though. It's like, if you sort of grow up in London, there's so many clubs you could pick. You know, your Chelsea, Arsenal, Fulham, you know, anyone really. But then you've got, I hate to bring up Fulham.
You'll see the F word in my presence.
Well, had Brentford gone through all that, going to Wembley and everything, and not be able to do it in front of fans, it would have been slightly gutting to have missed out on that. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure you would have taken it watching it at home, but still, it's something that the Brentford fans wouldn't have been there to see. And it's a bit of a shame as well that Brentford weren't able to be there to say goodbye to Griffin Park as well.
Yeah, well, you say that, I did Brentford have done like these farewell Griffin Park tours.
Okay.
Right. I did mine today, actually, where basically you just get like an hour and you get taken around the ground. You can have your picture where your seat is and blah, blah, blah. Have a picture like on the side of the pitch and stuff. And that's our official way of saying goodbye, Griffin Park. And then they're going to do a virtual event this coming weekend as well.
Oh, really?
So fans can tune in and they're going to have various messages from past players and current players and people behind the scenes saying goodbye to Griffin Park and all that. It would have been great to like be there. And like the last game of Griffin Park was the 3-1 win of Swansea to get to the play final. That would have been a great way to bow out of the stadium and be there and watch it. But bloody COVID, isn't it, mate? COVID. Fucking dickhead COVID.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you one thing we do on this podcast, what we like to do is I like to... Well, actually, funny I say this, because I recently saw you on the Richard Herring podcast, Rehearstapa, and he likes to do emergency questions, right?
Okay.
So what I like to hit you with, my guest, is the emergency facts. of your club, which you may or may not know.
Oh, gosh, probably not.
Here's one I hit you with straight away. I've seen that you do have quite a modest past, Brentford, but did you know that you were winners of the World War Cup in 1942, winning 2-0 against Luton in front of a crowd of 71,000?
I was there. No, I did not know that. A World War Cup.
Well, I love that. I love that we're, you know, the way in during COVID, we've had to sort of cancel events and stuff like that. But no, during World War II, they went, I tell you what, like early marketing skills from the, well, you can tell these guys went on to create the Premier League. They went, marketing, let's have a World War Cup where they selected certain teams to play.
And that was in 1942,
you said? 1942, yeah. So you'd lost the final the year before.
There was one the year before?
Yeah, there was one. In 1941, you lost to Reading. In the final, and then you then won redemption the following year, beating Luton 2-0.
I mean, I'm happy, but also slightly concerned that there was this World War Cup final slap bang in the middle of World War II.
Yeah, I mean, and with 71,000 watching as well.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, fuck health and safety. Forget the possible airstrikes, mate. We've got a game on.
Well, this is the thing. I'm going to hit you now with a follow-up fact, because the majority of my facts for this episode, I'm going to do Griffin Park. And it's funny you mentioned that, the bombs and everything, because did you know Brentford FC was hit by two wartime bombs in 1940 and 1941, forcing the Bees to have to abandon or postpone six games at Griffin Park throughout? They only postponed six games after they were bombed.
You're trying to tell me they were bombed and someone thought, we can still do this, you know?
Exactly, that's what happened. They bombed it, and then you could just see like the groundsman coming out with his fork, just sticking it in the ground. Just going,
someone
wow.
Put the sprinklers on, please.
5-6 games, you're not going to have this. Manager being, oh, you're joking. But yeah, so, I mean, Griffin Park, we've got to talk a little bit more about that, because, I mean, it's a great ground. Like I said, I'm so pleased I got to visit it. And I know, of course, you're excited about going to a new stadium, and it puts Brentford, you know, that level up. But with such an iconic ground, I mean, it's such a good away day. You're going to miss that place, because it's so lovely.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, now today when I did the tour, they let us sit in our seats. Me and my brother, we sat in our seats for one last time. And, mate, I didn't cry, but because if I weren't for my brother, I would have cried. I would have had to. Because I'm from my brother, I was like, man up, suck it in. Yeah, man. I mean, it's just, that's been my home for like years and years and years now. And it's just, it's an old fashioned little ground, isn't it? You know, and so it's a family ground as well. You've got the pubs in each corner, which, you know, Brentford fans, we never mention. it's just a nice little ground in amongst just normal housing. You know? It's just, yeah. It's not, I mean, a lot of new stadiums nowadays are very commercialised, and they're for the, what do you call it? Not irregular fans, but like the corporate. That's the word I want. A lot of new stadiums are very corporate, whereas Brentford, it's just kind of old school. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, it's got dying character out. To it. Yeah, and they're dying out a lot of those grounds as well. Unfortunately, you know, obviously Upton Park's now gone, and you know, especially London as well. Do you think Brentford are going to struggle filling it next season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's a 15,000? Yeah, 15,000.
Okay, I think it's quite modest.
It's got, they've got space to increase it a bit as well. But for the moment, I think it's 15,000. And they've sold, last I heard, they've already sold 10,000 season tickets.
Oh, brilliant.
So you've got 10,000, and then you've got the away fans as well. So I don't think we'll struggle filling it. I think if we had Premier League, obviously, it would be a no-brainer. We'd fill it easily. But even if I had Premier League, I still think it's such a nice stadium that I think people would want to come anyway. And as Brentford have been doing so well, you know, almost getting to the Premier League, I think that will entice more people. Like, one of my mates, he's a Liverpool fan, but he's from West London, and like, he's bought a season ticket based on just watching Brentford over the last few years and seeing, you know, the kind of football we play. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to come. So I think it will get more of the local people, which is great.
Yeah.
To come down. So they don't have to watch Sky Sports to see quality football. They've got a team is playing good football on their doorstep.
Yeah, exactly, exactly that. And I mean, like we were talking about, obviously their big run came after the break during lockdown. How did you find that, not going to the ground anymore and having to watch it all through telly? How did you find that experience?
Weird.
Yeah.
At first, but then the fact that we won 8 on the bounce very much helped. but yeah, it was like, I mean, our first game back was away to Fulham. And that would have been a game that me and my brother would have gone to. So it was like, oh, I wish I was there. And then when we beat them 2-0, I was like, oh, I really fucking wish I was there. But I just kind of got used to it, you know. I mean, it was great in that, like, all the games were available to watch on, like, iFollow and on TV and stuff as well. That helped. I mean, that was great in that I could just wake up and just sit in front of the TV for the whole day, watch game after game after game after game. That was cool. The audio was a bit weird at first.
Mm.
You know, the fake
audio. Yeah, the like, noise, yeah.
I mean, yeah, at first it was like, this is like really shit FIFA, but eventually you kind of, you get used to it. It was cool. Although, some games, I remember I watched a Fulham Brentford game without the fake audio.
Yeah.
You could hear all the players, and, like, and there was one point where one of the fun players took a phone and it went crappy, and he heard it went, oh shit. Like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, we had that on the iFollow for a few games. They didn't, because they were pumping it through the stadiums, the noise in some of them. And it was great, because I think there was a new rule where every time a swear word was picked up, the pundits and the commentators, they had to apologise.
Oh, yeah.
So the first game was just the commentators going, oh, we apologise if you heard any bad, we apologise. Honestly, about after like 15 minutes, they'd apologise 20 times. They just forgot about it. It was great.
Well, you know what? It's like, well, why do you need to apologise? It's just football.
Yeah.
You're gonna pass the ball, jolly old chap. Pass it, you fucking dickhead. You know what I mean? It's football, mate. If you don't like it, just turn over the channel, you dick.
As early. And I'm going to hit you with another Griffin Park emergency fact. Did you know the stadium takes its name from a nearby pub, the Griffin? I've been in there. Good pub. That was used as match day accommodation and changing rooms for the players during Brentford's early days. Griffin Brewery also owned the land prior to Griffin Park's construction.
I knew that. And the reason why I knew that is because when I went on the tour today, that was one of the things he told me. I was like, oh, yeah, cool.
Oh, see, that's good that you were prepared by going on this tour today. I like to think you only did that because you knew of the emergency facts that were coming.
Did my research, mate. I'm not stupid.
Well, I wonder if he told you this one. Let's try this one. Did he tell you the highest attendance at Brentford and when it was?
Oh, okay. 70-something thousand?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I think, hang on, let me double check my fact sheet. No, it's not 70-something.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Okay, go on. Hit me.
Well, it was 70,000 at the FA Cup, the World War Cup final, which is the coolest name, I think, for a cup ever. They should bring that back. It was 38,678. Oh. And it was an FA Cup game versus Leicester. Mm. And the year was 1949.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. That's good.
Nathan, I'm telling you, all the Brentford highlights came in the 1940s.
I know, mate. The darkest time in British history. Okay. Says a lot about Brentford. Yeah, how surprising, we go through bloody coronavirus and we could get promoted. Typical Brentford.
You see, whenever the world crumbles, Brentford just rises.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Can we have a World War III, please, just so I can get Premier League football?
I thought we need another World War Cup. I'll take that over. let's talk a bit about your stand-up, because Nathan, we've never gigged together, but I always see your name. You know, you're very much one of these comics who, you know, done loads of TV work, but I see your name's on the clubs all through the weekends. You know, you're a renowned club comedian. How did you find lockdown? And obviously, suddenly, all that just goes like that.
Awful. Absolutely awful. I mean, yeah, I was gigging like six nights, sometimes every night of the week. So to go from that to just absolutely nothing, just sitting at home and like, yeah, it killed me, man. Like at 8 o'clock, I'd just be sitting there like, what do I do? My girlfriend's like, oh, we could watch a movie. It's like, oh, fuck off. I mean, I love my girlfriend, but yeah, it's just like, it's only so much time I want to spend with you, babe. Yeah, it's awful. I did some online gigs.
Yeah.
Which they're okay, but it's not the same. It's not the same as being there in a small, compact room. It's intimate and the audience are right there. You've got that connection. Yeah, it's hard to get that same connection, like telling jokes to a computer, to a screen. And sometimes you couldn't hear the audience laugh. So I'm just talking with no reaction. I felt it's like there's a very, very fine line between like online gigs and just a guy having a breakdown on camera.
Yeah.
And that's what some of the gigs felt like.
I mean, I suppose in a way it almost feels like doing a funny vlog, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. But then it just sometimes it just didn't feel funny. It just felt awkward and weird, like, oh, I'm just log off and get out of it. Yeah, it's just nothing's going to replicate stand up, live stand up, you know what I mean? As a comedian, you know. You know what I mean? Like, if you've done it, then you know what I mean. It's just a buzz that you get, you know, which you can't really get via Zoom, Facebook Live, or whatever that streaming service is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and now, of course, gigs are starting to open up again. The kind of the outside gigs have happened. How have you found them?
The outside ones, they've been all right, man. Like before lockdown, like if you had offered me that, I'd be like, nah, I'll stick to the clubs. But now, after 5 months of nothing, I'm like, just give me anything, mate. I just want to get out of the house, please. Outdoor gigs are kind of cool, man. At least the audience are there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've done one which was a driving one.
I was going to say, have you done any of the car ones? Yeah. I have. I was offered one in Oxford last week. I couldn't do it. But I kind of thought, how does that work? I've told, don't they honk their horns for laughter?
Yeah. Well, actually, I've done two. The first one I did, yeah, they honk their horns. So you can't hear them laughing. They just say, which you have to assume is them laughing and not them tending to piss off.
Yeah.
Then I did a driving one last weekend and the audience actually got out of the car.
Okay.
And they had that picnic chairs and they just sat there.
That's
next to the
cars.
Yeah, that was better because these things, when they laughed, you heard it. You know what I'm saying? There was actual laughter as opposed to car horns, which is fine. But just, yeah, it felt good to hear that. When you hear that audience laughing, it's like, that's what that sounds like. I missed that sound. Yeah, it's okay, mate. I nearly had an orgasm on stage.
And then at the time of us recording this anyway, I think, was it yesterday or the day before, you did a nice inside gig as well.
Yeah, it was a save live comedy gig. Great gig, put on by Jade Adams and Al Murray.
Okay.
It was a Clapham Grand. They had a small audience in the club as well, as well as recording it, streaming it on Zoom. But that was great. Just like actually have audience there in front of me, and when I tell my joke, there's physical actual reaction right there. You know, I can hear them laugh. I can see them, you know, smiling and turning to the mate. So yeah, it's true. You know, something like that. And yes, man, it's just good to, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know,
it's getting there,
slowly,
isn't it?
Yeah, slowly but surely, it's coming back. So I want it bad, man. I need it like a drug.
And tying it back sort of to the football, they're now talking about letting, I think it's something like 30% of fans in. For future league games.
But how would they do that, though? I mean, how do they decide who that 30% is? Because, like, I mean, say, like, Brentford, are they going to, you know, just do, like, people get to go to every other game or whatever? It's like, I don't know, mate. I've paid my money. I want to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then also, do they do that with, like, do they include away fans in that 30%? And if so, what percent is your... I don't know.
I don't know how they're going to do that, but I know. You know, there's going to be some football fans complaining. You know, like,
yeah.
I paid my full season ticket. I can't even go. that's me, by the way. that's going to be me.
Well, you know, I'm a Reading fan, so 30%, mate. I'm thrilled. It'll be our highest attendance all season. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Now, you guys, you survived.
We survived, yeah, you know, and we did the iFollow thing. I enjoyed paying £10 to watch you destroy us 3-0. And you were very, I mean, it was great because you scored two goals. Then you sort of went, well, just, I think you used all five of your subs very quickly and just thought, let's try some new things out for the remainder of the game.
And we got a third.
Yeah, and you did. And you did. Nicely done. Nicely done. I hit you with one more fact, and then I'm gonna quiz you. Then I will quiz you. That's the thing. This is something that I found really interesting in doing my research at Brentford. Mm-hmm. That the club were nearly bought by QPR in 1967.
Yeah, the pricks. Yeah. And then they tried to spin it and make it seem like we tried to buy them first. No, they know what they did. The scum from Shepherd's Bush.
The fake right? hoops.
Yeah, man. Who's that shit from Shepherd's Bush? Is Cooper? Yeah, they tried to buy us, and hence we have that. I mean, there would have been a rivalry anyway because it's local, but that just made it worse. So yeah, it's QPR. I mean, I think for me personally, I get more worked up for the QPR matches than for the matches.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because I know more QPR fans.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, yeah. I mean, I have the same thing. I still like have a rivalry with Fulham as well.
Yeah,
but
of course.
QPR for some reason. Yeah, well, especially now.
How did that? I mean, I wonder what they would have done. So, had they bought them out, was the idea to just merge the clubs?
I'm not sure what. I don't know. I don't know if it was to take. I know it's more land, more space where we were. I've no idea.
I mean, either way, it would have been to buy the club and then essentially become one new entity, like one big sort of West London club. Or either way, it would have been to take over there and would have kicked Brentford out somewhere else and could be pretty much non-existent.
I just
found that so, so strange. I'd love it if that could be like the new thing in future football, just clubs trying to buy each other. Like, it's down like West Ham trying to buy Leighton Orient or... I don't know, Oxford trying to buy Swindon. I just think that could be like the new kind of rivalry in football because it's got so much into ownership now. It's just kind of a war of territory.
Are you merging football with Monopoly, mate?
Yeah, I think I am. And that is what I've always wanted. it's basically like, what's that game they used to play? Like, it's got like Red Alert or something where you just kind of take over territories or that, but with football clubs till you just own England. I'll ask you this quickly before, because I'm asking every comedian this, and this is going to go into kind of a big video at the end. Euro 2020, now Euro 2021. How do you think England are going to get on?
I've seen this to another comedian recently, right? I think we'll do okay, you know. We've got a lot of good young players now. Rashford, Kane's still, he's not old, he's in his prime now, he's 26, 27. Rashford, Sterling, Sancho, Madison, Grealish at the back. No, centre back is the one area I'm like, that's the concern. I mean, Maguire, against pace and trickery, sometimes he gets done, as you've seen for United. Stones has fallen out of favour. If Gomez can get fit and like play a whole season, then I'll be like, okay, there's hope there. And then goalkeeping. For me, Pickford, he hasn't been number one quality this season, not for Everton. But going forward, though, I think we're good. I think we'll get to the knockout stages. Maybe I think in terms of winning anything, next year might be too soon.
Okay.
I think maybe 2022 World Cup, 2024 Euros will be more of a threat. That's when more of our young players now will develop and kind of, you know, learn more and, you know, start reaching their full potential. So I think Euros next year, I think we'll get, I don't know, quarters, maybe semis. But I'll look at 2022, 2024 about challenging.
Right. Okay, that's fair. I mean, I suppose the thing was, is that I think we all thought we were going to enter to Euro 2020 with the kind of the best of the World Cup 2018 squad. And we thought, great, you know, we'll have Kane in there, even though he was injured at the time. We'll kind of have him coming through. We'll still have the players we had. But now it's this new exciting thing where we have got all these new younger players, like you said, like Grealish, like Foden at Man City, who have just suddenly come out of nowhere. And you think, oh, okay, now if we wait, because I think the only difference we would have made this year is put Danny Ings in and gone, yeah, up front, he can come on 70 minutes, score a goal maybe. But now we've got this really young talent and you kind of don't know what to do with them. Then who do you leave out from that 2018 squad?
Yeah, it's the thing. It's a good selection headache to have for Gareth Southgate anyway. But yeah, there will be like, I mean, look at the moment, you got in midfield, in that kind of number 10 creative role, you got Mason Mount is there, Ross Barkley's there, Madison's there, Phil Foden will be there. Jack Grealish, where's he going to fit? You know, he's been quality this season. So I think the future is bright, I'll put it that way.
Speaking of future being bright, predictions for Brentford. I mean, we've spoken a bit about where you think what might happen next year. It's positive either way. Can you see them getting in the Premier League in the next maybe 2 or 3 years?
Yes, I can. Yeah? I'm not saying that because I'm biased. I trust our recruitment. I mean, we might lose players, but I think we can find players. I mean, the way we recruit is just is exemplary. I think we're trying. I think next season we'll be up thereabouts. Be it automatics or playoffs. I hope it's automatics because I'm done with playoffs, mate.
Yeah.
Like 9 playoff losses. Are you shitting me, mate? Right. Oh, gosh. Nah, I'm done.
I've seen us at Wembley 3 times, 2 playoff finals, 1 FA Cup semi-final and lose every time. It's depressing. Depressing. And I mean, like, in a way, we say, oh, it's a shame that they did all that and they weren't there. But imagine being there that night it would have been like a Monday afternoon, bank holiday Monday afternoon. That walk back from Wembley Stadium after a loss, it is depressing.
Yeah, I've done that, mate. Was it Yeovil? 2013.
Wow, that is Yeovil. Going back.
Yeah. I remember we didn't turn up as usual. When we get to Wembley, we don't turn up. I don't know what it is. We get complacent because it's just down the road. But we didn't turn up. And me and my brother, we just walked all the way back home, like an hour walk. Right? We were meant to get the bus or something. But we were so pissed off. We just didn't want to be around anyone else. We just walked an hour in silence.
No, it's the worst walk. It is the worst walk. Right, well, Nathan, Caton, you come on the podcast, you say you're a Brentford fan, but I'm going to have to test it. Everyone has to be tested. It's the 10-question knockout quiz. Now, I had to look for a decent place to get hold of this quiz. Now, normally our quizzes are sourced from really, you know, high-standard places. We've used CBBC online, and we've also used thebeano.com. They didn't have any Brentford... any Brentford quiz questions. So I've gone instead for mylondon.news. And we've got 10 questions here. Now, I will say at this point, there's only one guest so far on the podcast who's got all 10 questions right.
Oh, no, the pressure.
And it was a Leicester fan. So those underdogs, you got to watch them.
Okay. Oh, mate. Oh, no. How far
back
are we going?
Well, I'm not sure. I think these are... I mean, to be honest, I'm looking at the first question and it's all the way back to the very, very start. So it's all over the place. It's all over the place. But anyway, I've gone for a nice kind of like sort of easy quizzes, but they're always more easy than they sound. But there is always a trick question in there somewhere. But here we go. So we go for question one. When was Brentford founded? 1888, 1889 or 1890?
1889.
Do I like that?
Correct. We're on to the next question.
Mate, that pause killed me, mate.
I think the worst we've had so far is 2 out of 10. So don't worry. Okay. Don't worry. Okay, so question two. Which... wow. Okay. Question two. I might have to give you a free pass on this one because I think it suddenly jumped from, when did your club start, to this. Which competitions did Brentford win in the 1897-98 season? Was it the London League and Middlesex Senior Cup, the London League and London Senior Cup, or the Middlesex Senior Cup and London Senior Cup?
What? Mate, come on, mate. You're having a fucking bubble. Can you repeat the possible answers, please?
So, London League... So, it's the London and Middlesex... Sorry, London League and Middlesex Senior Cup. The London League and London Senior Cup. Or the Middlesex Senior Cup and London Senior Cup.
I'm going to go for C.
C. Do you know what? It's right.
Do I like that?
Oh!
It's right! I was just preparing to go, do you know what? Don't worry, Nathan. We'll cut that bit out. It's a stupid question. But that is amazing. That is amazing. Bear in mind... Middlesex Senior Cup and London Senior Cup.
Yeah, when you say Middlesex, I was like, okay, it's got to be us.
So, I mean, that's amazing. Bear in mind, a couple of the question twos on some of them are, what is the name of your mascot? And things like that. So... So now we're going to go to a nice, easy question. who created this quiz? And who's it for? Okay, here we go. Nice, easy one. Where did Brentford finish in the London combination? Bear in mind, the London combination in the 1918-1919 season. Is it third, 10th or first?
Man, I've been stitched up here, mate. Fucking hell. In the 1918-19 season, I reckon we finished third.
Route, no, don't!
It's wrong. It's first. You were champions.
Ah, I was going to say first, but no, we never won anything. Damn it.
Oh, man. I mean, these questions are insane. I'll give you that. But look, we'll still good effort. I mean, God, where do these... bear in mind the Leicester questions. If you get a chance, listen to the Leicester episode because the questions are absolutely stupid. They're insane. Oh, they're stupid easy. But, you know, never mind. 2 out of 10 questions like that. There'll be an asterisk next to it, just like Liverpool's asterisk during the COVID thing. But never mind, because, of course, Nathan Caton, you don't go empty-handed. Now, we never actually met before. Now, normally, if I meet anyone at a gig and I find out about football, I end up chatting about the history of the club, about football shirts. And I don't know what football shirts you do own and what you don't own. So I thought I'd play it really safe. I've gone back to the 15-16 season, so quite recent. Now, you might own the shirt from that season, but I don't think you own the goalkeeper's shirt from that season.
Hey! So, no, I don't.
Now, I believe this is the last season with the old badge as well. So I wanted to get that one on there as well. And I love this because it's got the padded elbows, which I thought disappeared in 1991. So I'm happy to have them. So what I'll do is I'll get this sent over to you.
Oh, man, you're so
and,
sweet of you.
So that's for you. And I just, thanks again for coming on. And as I said, the episode's going to go out in a couple of weeks. What's sort of coming up? Now you've returned to comedy, what can we talk about? What's coming up for Nathan Caton?
Gigs, lots and lots of gigs. Well, hopefully you don't get cancelled, touch word, pray to God. I'll be performing just here, there and everywhere, anywhere I possibly can. Working on a few writing projects for TV. Hopefully something gets commissioned or, you know, gets picked up now that the world is slowly starting to open up again. So 2021, hopefully that'll be the year. I mean, you see a lot more Nathan Caton.
Top man, and hopefully it's a good year for Brentford as well.
Yeah, indeed, mate. Come on, you bees. Come on, you bees.
Nathan, thanks so much for coming on.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
A big thanks once again to Nathan Caton. I feel so awful about that quiz. How harsh was that? Who came up with that quiz? It was genuinely on some London website as a quick, fun quiz. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of quizzes, Nathan does a football quiz on Sunday nights over on his Instagram Live. Pretty sure they're still going, so do check them out. I assume they won't be as hard as that quiz we did just then. As Nathan said also, he is looking to gig as much as he can for the rest of 2020. And no doubt, you've seen him on Live at the Apollo, you've seen him on Channel 4 Comedy Gala, Mock the Week, etc. But as he said, there's nothing like live comedy. So why not check out his website, nathancaton.com, and see if he's gigging near you. And also give him a follow on Twitter, at Nathan Caton. As for us, you can give us a follow on Facebook, just search Comedians Talking About Football, or follow us on Twitter and Instagram with the handle at @comfootytalkpod. If you enjoyed the show, a review is hugely appreciated. But if you can't be asked, why not just join us next time instead, when my guest will be Joseph Parsons talking about Bristol City FC. Until then, I hope you lose on Saturday if you're a Derby fan. See you later.
Social Podcast Network.